Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 27.
All right, stop stalling. We have so much
news. Right.
All right. So this is Nat, one of your hosts. With me, as always,
is Pat.
And Cat in Hat.
Yes, so this is the pre-San Diego Comic-Con, sort of San Diego Comic-Con's going on.
Some of stuff.
This is the all-news episode point one, because we'll have a point two at some point in time to wrap everything up. Mm-hmm. So, Cat, let's lead us.
So, Batwoman has been officially announced, or is put in the works at the CW, and I am upset. So they let out an official logline, which I can hopefully not jumble this together, but Batwoman revolves around Kate Kane, okay, who, armed with a passion for social justice and a flair for speaking her mind, soars onto the streets of Gotham as Batwoman, an out lesbian and highly trained street fighter, primed to snuff out the failing city's criminal resurgence. But don't call her a hero yet. In a city desperate for a savior, Kate must overcome her own demons by embracing the call to be Gotham's symbol of hope. Also, I'd like to point out the writer of The Vampire Diaries is writing her pilot, so I'm already like, I don't even know what to do with this.
I fell asleep halfway through that, but through that solicitation. That literally, I'm not very familiar with Batwoman's character, but that sounds to me like she's just a focus group heroine, like created for this TV show.
There are so many missing elements to this character, and it wasn't until I read the logline a few more times that I realized how much is missing. For starters, a passion for social justice made me want to burn a building down.
Why is that?
That was never her. She was just one of the biggest thing that I always loved about Batwoman is she's like, I'm gay. Next.
Yeah.
There was never any sort of, she didn't give a shit about, she cared about saving people. She didn't give a shit about everybody else, but like, I don't know how to explain it. It's really hard to explain.
There's this moment of her being a lesbian is part of her character. It isn't her character.
She's like, hey, I went on a date with this hot girl. Next.
Yeah.
It just made me feel, because that's my biggest thing, is like...
Like, how was your night last night?
I went on a date.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. With who?
with a girl.
And then we just keep moving. Like, there's no hiccup. But I feel like with this, there's a hiccup, and I don't like that.
Well, and where's, like, the whole element of her being an ex-military and her dad being a military general?
And that was the thing, too.
Are those her, quote, demons?
Well, that was the thing. Yeah, is they called her highly trained street fighter.
And I was like, wait a second.
That was when I hit, wait a minute, she was ex-military, and her dad took her to, like, ridiculous special forces training for her to be Batwoman.
Yeah.
So they just removed that entire part of her life, and that was the part in time, too, when they said a passion for social justice. I was like, she was in the military. Social justice would be college time. She was in the military!
Yeah. They also, like... Her dad's kind of the guy in the chair for the series, so... That not being a central element in this logline seems real weird to me.
So, and that was the thing. And they also say she'll be in the Arrow crossover, which will give me the first glimpse to see how her character is. The second part of it is that they're looking for a lesbian actress to play her. I don't care. Pick the best person for the role. The person who can get into Kate Kane's mind space, that's the person I want. I don't want a lesbian because she's a lesbian. I want some... It just seems like cherry-picking to me. Like, I can understand, oh, I want her to be blonde, or, oh, I want her to be this. I can get that, but when you're like, oh, I need a gay actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing, like, picking a specific, you know, actor or actress for their, like, physical aesthetic.
Yes.
You know, obviously you want that because film is a highly visual thing.
Yeah.
So you want them to look the part. You can't... I mean, obviously, there's the stereotype, but you can't really look like a lesbian, you know? I mean, like obviously, there's the classic butch look or whatever, but you can't just, like, look gay. That's not something that, his face really looks gay.
So, I thought about this, and, like, what happens if you were not out, but this is a role that you want? So, you're a lesbian who's not out. In general, and this is a role. So, in order to go into the casting call, you have to admit this now. Like, that's
my biggest thing is like,
yeah.
As a gay woman, I legitimately don't care if you pick a gay actress or not. I want you to pick the best actress for the role.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, like this whole like, I don't know. I feel like this lesbian thing is going to be stuck, and I'm going to get mad because that was never Batwoman. She was like, I date women. I'm going to go punch people in the face now.
And this is so weird, like, coming out of the CW, who's handled homosexual characters so well in their shows that it's just, like, an element of the character themselves. I mean, they have
it. Thunder cough.
Yeah, right?
Maggie Sawyer, who actually dates Kate Kane in the comics. Yep. You know, you've done a good job with this already. Oh, really? You don't need to go out of your way to make this the defining characteristic.
We also have Alex Danvers, who for the longest time didn't realize she was even gay. And she's like, oh my god, I am.
Yeah, so it feels weird. I like your statement of the focus group superhero. It really feels like that they're doing that. Kat, do you have anything else to say about this without raging?
It's mostly just upsetting. It's just, let's move on before we break here anymore. That's where it's going to sit.
Speaking of characters seemingly being mishandled in television interpretations of DC Comics characters, the Titans trailer debuted for DC Universe. Interesting. Fuck Batman, right? Like, that's cool. It's cool to be in 1998 again in 2000 and, like, be edgy and dark and, you know, try to...
I'm Dick Grayson. I use swear words. Wait.
Yeah. I just... This was the most conflicting trailer, like, I've ever watched. I didn't know how to feel.
I'm usually not one for, like, the looks. Like, Nat, you're usually the one, like, oh, I love their look because of this, or I hate their look, blah, blah, blah.
I know exactly
blah.
What you're going to bring up, too.
But I hated all of their looks. And every single one of their costumes in it, I did not like. Like, I was talking to Nat about this before, the Beast Boy red and white costume. Not
and
good.
Give is me a... he green? Because, like, he looked green in one scene, but
and
didn't
how,
in the other?
How old is he? He looks like he's in his, like, mid-20s and, like, also, like...
Nine?
I don't know.
Yeah, right?
Give me the classic, like, teen, like beanpole Beast Boy with the, you know? And then also, yes, I'm going to say it. Starfire looks like a goddamn prostitute in that one scene. She has, like, the furry coat.
I mean,
and, like,
I felt really bad at the internet backlash that initially happened when they showed, like, months ago there was a screenshot or that had, like, and it was from, you know, camera outside of the filming process that showed her in that. And people were like, oh, she looks like a hooker. And, you know, let it be. We're not seeing the digital effects on it. It is what it is. And then in the trailer, she looks like a hooker.
I'm going with this. It might be better, like, rated M
for mature. So I was like, what are they doing?
Well, I also feel like it needs to be mentioned that.
And also,
this Robin is Dick Grayson. And then didn't they confirm two other characters, which one makes this so much more confusing?
So
with her shooting fire instead of, like, energy
bolt. Yeah.
Also, by the way,
there's
and also Robin's costumes are just garbage.
Okay, so we're gonna have a little bit of a that. This is my
wow,
time.
We really started this episode out of a negative
note.
We have a lot of stuff we're really excited about. Folks,
Dick Grayson is supposedly the Robin in this, and you know what? I dig the fuck Batman. I dig that idea that this is the Dick Grayson who's on the outs. He's not happy about his relationship with Batman. He's not happy about the character of Batman. And then he kills a bunch of people. Like, straight up grabs the guy's gun and just pops a cap.
Didn't he stab him in the side of the neck?
He stabs somebody in the side of the neck, breaks somebody's neck seemingly by stepping on them as they're on the ground after shooting a bunch of people.
Huh.
And, like, this doesn't feel right. I'm going to go on a little bit of a moment. Like, I need this. I need to talk about this.
No, I had that moment. Go.
the catalyst has always been when Dick Grayson leaves, it's because of Batman's brutality escalating too far. He's always, Dick Grayson is the best of us. It's the reason that he has the positive relationships with all of the DC characters, and he could be a central element to all of them, is because he's the best of us. He's the one at some point in time goes, you know, I see all the anger in you, Bruce, and I feel bad because I don't feel that anymore. He understands and he lets go of what happened to his family. Mm. He's able to forgive. And it feels like, and I heard this yesterday, that this seems like it's written by people who don't understand comic books, because
I would completely agree with that statement.
There's this idea of, okay, if we bring him down, we make him so dark that he can arise to be a hero. But the Daredevil versus Punisher angle in season 2 of the Daredevil series explores the fact that there is a line, and that's what's interesting storytelling, is how do you be that character that understands that there's a line?
Well, and also I'm thinking over here, I'm also not very familiar with, like, the Batman, like, side of things in general, but, like, why not just use Damian as your Robin?
Why not use Jason Todd?
That was the biggest thing, is Jason Todd has always had anger problems and always just...
And he's the one who would be that way. He would go against Batman's wishes, and he'd be like, no, this guy needs to be punished. Let's kill him.
Yeah.
That would be Jason.
Exactly. Why not use one of those, like, 40 frickin' Robins?
So, they have announced an episode called Jason Todd. They announced that Jason Todd and Donna Troy are going to be characters in the show.
Which is just confusing.
Donna Troy is
Wonder Girl.
Wonder Girl!
Or Troya. So she's...
Oh, Wonder Girl.
I don't know about Troya. I know Wonder Girl.
I want to be positive about this. I want to give them my money, which $74.99 for a full year for pre-order is a little much. $7.99 a month I can handle, but apparently that's not going to be available for the original DC Universe service until it launches.
Yeah, I think so. I think right now it's just the pre-order.
Just the pre-order full year, so you're trying to get us.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing there. And then they're like, we have Batman Beyond.
If this trailer is a swerve and the announcement of Jason Todd means that the character that we see isn't actually Grayson, but it's Jason Todd, and we're being swerved until that episode when it will flip, and we will see the real Dick Grayson at that point, and this was all some sort of, like, a story element to break down Robin, and that when he returns, he's not even Robin at all. He's always been Dick Grayson in this story, or he's always been Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing we haven't talked about, though, yet is Raven in it.
That's because she was actually kind of good.
I'm interested. I liked her look.
Yeah,
she was
actually
creepy as fuck.
Like,
I liked her being the impetus for the story, too.
Yes,
like,
the mirror
it
thing?
Sounded like she was going to have, like, a very central role. Or, like, her relationship to, like, the dark dimension or whatever.
To her.
Have very central.
Figuring out who her father is.
That mirror
which is
scene
a great...
where she has, like, her counterpart banging on the mirror.
Yeah.
I'm like, am I going to be watching it? God, am I going to have to sleep with the lights on after I watch this?
So
I guess, basically, as long as Starfire isn't wearing that coat...
The whole time.
And we get... And 90% of the show is about Raven.
I feel like... Okay. So this is supposed to be your trailer. This is the last thing I will have to say. This is supposed to be your trailer that gets people to buy into a service that's going to be a major launching point for everything else that comes off of this service, and you missed your core demographic, and you created something that is so violent and brutal that how does this appeal to the casual viewer?
Yeah.
Like, this really felt to me like a misstep.
Yeah, there was a lot of blood in that trailer.
My wife was really turned off from this, and her favorite character on Young Justice is Dick Grayson.
Well, yeah. Because he's awesome. I've always loved Dick Grayson.
So, and they, that's what's going to be weird, is you're going to watch these two shows, and you have the dichotomy of the Robin, the Dick Grayson, and Young Justice, who is, he has the creepy laugh that he echo sounds to make it, like, a really weird thing when he first arrives,
mm-hmm.
and then it's this, like, broken character, like, almost like a scarecrow that arrives, and you're like, who the fuck is this guy? To... Fuck Batman!
Yeah.
No, like, I don't, they don't seem like the same character to me, and that concerns me.
Christian Bale, Batman voice, for Dick Grayson!
Yeah, exactly. Alright, somebody else do something.
Alright, let me actually take it, and we'll talk about a trailer that just recently dropped that I am super excited about. I don't know about y'all, but the Marvel Rising trailer for Disney XD premiering August 13th. I was so happy watching this trailer, man. Squirrel Girl and Miss Marvel teaming up. together in a feature-length film to ostensibly help Ghost Spider.
I don't have cable.
I don't either, but I will somehow, we'll watch this somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. We'll figure it out. Well, because Disney does stream a lot of their stuff, too, for,
they
like,
probably,
teasing.
Honestly, yeah. They work with iTunes pretty often, too, so I'm pretty sure it'll be
so I'll
there.
Definitely check their website, at least, to see if it's on there. Okay. Or not, I'll steal someone's cable for the night.
I haven't read a lot of Ms. Marvel stuff, or a lot of Squirrel Girl stuff. I did not realize that hearing a voice actress say Embiggen was going to get me the way it did in this trailer. Like, it was, like, full-on goosebumps. Like, when I was watching I was like, it's so great!
Embiggen!
Yeah, it was just like, it felt so right.
Well, I
so
also didn't
I
realize,
wonder if they're going to have her play Ms. Marvel in the future just for this, because they have Chloe Bennett, the actress who plays Quake in S.H.I.E.L.D., do the voice
that's
for
the other,
Quake.
That's the
and,
other fun part, too, is Doug thing. Cameron and then, is playing...
Squirrel Girl?
No, she
no,
is...
Melania, Mel, Van Trab.
Ghost Spider. So, Spider-Gwen. She's Spider-Gwen. Yeah. And she's also in S.H.I.E.L.D., from my understanding, too. So.
Oh, and the actress who's playing Squirrel Girl was cast
yeah.
as the live-action version
cast,
of the character.
Yeah, she's the voice of Squirrel Girl.
So,
also gonna
I, also,
be in the,
I would also like to
new,
say, too, that...
New Warriors, whenever that comes
she's
out.
She's also right? in... Descendants too, but I didn't realize that it was her until they yeah. like did the whole side by side thing with their voice actors. I was like, I loved him. I loved
we'll
him,
see,
Cameron.
Yeah, we'll see if they get Brie Larson to do Captain Marvel too.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
Because they had the characters next to the voice actors. They didn't have Captain
right.
Marvel up there. Wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be awesome. I wouldn't be surprised if they go for it because
yeah.
this is like it. That was a fun trailer.
Yeah, it was fun. It was, yeah. It looks like it's gonna just be a blast.
Character design seemed really good, like
mm-hmm,
everything.
Mm-hmm.
I love, I've warmed up a lot to that Ghost Spider moniker. Like, that, the Ghost mm-hmm. Spider thing is pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, because she's Spider-Woman in her comics, I believe.
Right.
Because yeah.
Spider-Gwen makes absolutely no sense. It sells a comic book, but the
you
name
don't
makes
use, you
no
don't
sense.
Use your first name and your secret identity.
My
name is Spider-Man.
Peter Spider-Man.
Peter Man.
Peter Spider. I mean, Spider-Peter. Man Spider.
Son of a bitch. I gotta go home.
Yeah, it's like this joke in Squirrel Girl about how she's like terrible at hiding her like secret identity.
Right.
Like in the Ms. Marvel Squirrel Girl one, they're like, pretty sure Squirrel Girl is Dorian Green because Squirrel Girl brought me back to Dorian's apartment.
Yep, that's that. But that was great. That was a fun trailer. So.
Oh man, yeah. So that's good. At least we have some good.
Yeah, there's some positive.
No, there is some good stuff.
Yeah,
we just got
stuff.
Upset in
well,
the beginning.
Anyway, so what else? What else do you have for us, Kat?
I actually have anime news for once.
Oh, yeah? What's up?
Hell yeah. So Dragon Ball Super is doing their first movie, and I hate saying this because I say Dragon Ball Super so many damn times. it's Dragon Ball Super Broly, which means that they're going to make Broly the legendary Super Saiyan a fucking canon character, and I almost flipped the table when I found this out because I got so damn excited. He is my favorite not canon character because he's just this fucking giant sociopath.
Nice.
I remember watching the old movies.
Yeah, he's just fucking
mm-hmm.
crazy, and
yeah.
it looks like he's going to be around the same kind of character, too.
Sweet.
And from the sounds of it, I watched, they have a sub trailer and a dub trailer. I'm a dub gal because I can't just sit and watch TV. I have to, like, play on my phone, do other things. So I always love dub more. Apparently, they're going to start adding, I think from my understanding, too, they're actually going to add more mythology to the Saiyan race lore, too.
Ooh! Sorry.
That's just gonna step on well, up. So the big thing that they're spouting right now is a fight between Broly and Vegeta, and Vegeta is actually going to turn into a Super Saiyan God for the first time, so you get to see his Super Saiyan God form. Then,
It's just Vegeta with blue hair, but that's okay.
No. He's going to have red hair because he's going to do the normal one. And then I don't know what's going to happen. I honestly have no idea what the fuck they're doing, but I'm game. Frieza and Broly fight as the gold Frieza, which I'm like, why is he still, isn't he dead? Whatever.
Yeah.
And then Goku versus Broly.
Okay.
So they're spouting these three big battles. It looks like Paragus, his dad, is also in the movie. It looks like they're keeping him relatively similar to how the old Legendary Super Saiyan movie was.
Okay.
but it sounds like they're adding more mythology and more lore to the Saiyan race stuff. Awesome. And I was like, fuck yes!
My obsession with the ancient cultures.
Yeah, that, right? That's... So, Japan gets it December 14th, 2018. Buttheads. It says the U.S. will probably get it around mid-January 2019.
This is not too far off.
Yeah, about a month.
Yeah.
It's still upsetting because I'm like, no, I want it now.
I want it. It's mine. Give it to me.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly how I felt about it. I was like, no, that's mine. Nice. You give me.
Awesome. All right. Well, more animation. We have like, we're running in these nice little themes today.
I know. Nice. I did it.
She-Ra has been, we get official artwork from the Netflix show by showrunner Noelle Stevenson, co-creator of Lumberjanes. And I think she looks awesome. I think super cool.
I didn't really
The only bad part about the solicitation for me or the images was that it said November 16th. And I was like, why so far away?
Yeah. Stop taking things from me.
Oh man, she looks so badass.
She looks so cool. Like, she looks like a teenager. Got superpowers, and when she holds the sword, she's super buff Amazon warrior.
Oh yeah, and the look on her face too is exactly like the teenager getting superpowers. She has like this grin that's like, oh man, what am I gonna do now? Yeah.
That was the thing that I kind of, when I was slipping through, I'm like, oh, so she's younger?
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I got, because the original She-Ra seemed to be in like her mid-20s, I guess.
She was probably 15, 20s. But it was the 80s.
So she looked like she was 30.
Yeah,
she looked that way. But this one, actually, she looks like a teenager. Yeah. She has a
That's what I figured when I was flipping, when I was scrolling through it. I was like, she's probably 16 years old. All right.
I didn't really look too far into it. I dig the art style. I've never really been into that area,
so I was like, all right.
So, you hear us. We're all positive on this. Yeah. We have positive reactions. So why is the internet stupid?
See, I don't know. You told me about this, Nat. Please tell our viewers about it, because I still can't wrap my head around this controversy.
There are a lot of people out there, and it's probably just the vocal Twitter minority, that is upset about her design, that she looks like a boy, that she doesn't have big enough boobs, that they can't create a female character that is both feminine and powerful.
Okay, 16-year-old girls shouldn't look like they're 25. I'm just gonna start there.
And also, let's be real here, these are like 20 and 30-year-old guys on the internet complaining about an animated female's boobs.
Who might... Here's a weird concept. They talk about core audiences that you're going for. It might be something for, I don't know, young and teenage girls? Might be your core audience?
Like, I mean, TMI, but I'm gonna tell you right now, the Seven Army Now didn't show up when I was 16.
Yeah, and also, if she is, like, a teenager, like we're assuming she is by her look, you are complaining about a teenager's breast size. That is so inappropriate. Yeah. That is so inappropriate.
Well, and why can't we accept new things? Like, this is really upsetting me, is the fact that this is a new design of a character that's a show that, yes, has some sort of a cult following, but it's not like it was...
It was in the 80s, and it was... We gotta admit it. It was cheesy.
Yeah, so absolutely.
So you told me this news and this whole thing about the controversy, and I was like, what the fuck? And so I actually did like a test on like a couple of my coworkers who are like on the more nerdy side, and I was just showing them like the images, like, oh, check out, man, they're doing like a Netflix She-Ra, it looks really cool. All of them were like, damn, that looks like cool art, I'm excited for that, that looks really good, Netflix does good stuff.
Yeah.
Why?
And I said, I am a 25-year-old woman now. When I was 16, I did not, my body does not look the same as it does when I was 16, I can understand, like, thank you for drawing a 16-year-old like a normal person.
Thank you for drawing a teenager like a teenager.
Her costume design and her design in general is still very feminine. She has, like, the mini skirt still. She has a tiara. She still has, like, the tiara.
In the back of my mind, I feel like I need to do a small female health PSA at the moment. It's okay not to look like a 25-year-old woman when you're 16 years old.
We should probably have more of this where we're not over-sexualizing young characters.
A 16-year-old girl. I would appreciate that.
That seems like the right call.
It's like a PSA. The people who are playing 16-year-olds in TV right now are my age.
Right.
I did not look this way when, as you get older, like girls in all reality, your puberty doesn't, didn't really stop until I was about 20.
This goes back to what we were talking about with the Batwoman thing.
And that's just
thing,
the changes in the female body.
this is going back to what we were talking about with the Batwoman thing. Like, her design is different to represent a specific, like, aesthetic that they're going for. Like,
yeah.
It's not that they're, like, making her look like a boy just to look
yeah.
like a boy or whatever.
She
like,
looks
obviously
like a
16-year-old
girl.
Going to, like, be different. It's not going to be, like, the really cut and dry, like, She-Ra from the 80s.
Right.
Like, it looks like it has some spark. Like, in the poster, her eyes are literally, like, shining points of light. Like,
yeah.
She's got light in her eyes.
Oh, and the silhouette poster that's, like, an 80s movie poster with the light shining from her and the sword. It's
mm-hmm.
like, these are all amazing images.
Okay.
What it comes down to is, you should be excited about this, especially Netflix and the DreamWorks studio that they've been working with to do these. Voltron's amazing. This seems like the same thing, reviving an 80s property and doing it right.
Well, you're
Netflix
doing it
American animation in general has been,
like, so,
really
the difference
solid.
Between this and the Batwoman thing is they're doing this with a character who hasn't shown up in anything yet.
No.
And they're not, yeah, they're, the whole thing with that. With She-Ra, I think it's mostly because people are like, she's not like how she was in the 80s. And I'm like, that's kind of good, because you're not going to get to me from that.
Well, yeah,
because
the 80s She-Ra show is garbage.
Like, all that stuff is just cheesy.
But anyway, we'll move on. We got some other stuff to talk
yeah.
about here. I'm going to do a quick hit. Clone Wars returns. So Dave Filoni at the Clone Wars 10th anniversary panel announced that Clone Wars is going to come back for 12 episodes to finish the series. This is awesome. Disney understands that they have a really amazing writer and creative in Dave Filoni, and they let him finish the show that he never got to finish. And I think that's really awesome, and I think it's going to be a huge boon for the Disney streaming service to have
like,
these 12 episodes.
Like the OG Clone Wars?
The Clone Wars series that ended, it was on Netflix, it was 5 seasons, Netflix canceled it, the studio got bought by Disney, the whole Lucasfilm, they did the 6-episode run that had been finished, the 6th season that was kind of like a pseudo wrap-up season, that got launched on Netflix, and now the actual end point of the story, this is the show that introduced Ahsoka, the actual end episodes that were written but never were animated are going to be released.
Oh, okay.
So, which
yeah,
is awesome.
I thought you were talking about
the one that Genndy Tartakovsky did back in,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, that was a cool show, but
yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 5 minutes, too.
They were 5 minute, 12,
like,
12 5 minute episodes
like,
for each season.
Like, I don't know, 12. I was like, can I have more than this?
Yeah. And I love that show, but if you've never watched, like, the full Clone Wars series, it's awesome. It is really, like, it's good mythology. So, yay, it's coming back.
Hooray.
Nice, cool. That's good. Yeah, I kind of fell out of Clone Wars, but hearing you talk about it, I think I might try to get back into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think the previous seasons right now are still on Netflix.
I'm probably
so cool.
going to be blasphemed for this. I've just like hit a point where I'm over Star Wars and I can't help it and I don't know why.
No, I'm totally there with you.
Skip seasons 1 and 2. Just start watching
just,
the season.
Just,
it took a while for the show to hit its
stride. Maybe that's why I didn't, because I actually started watching it from the beginning, because when I was a kid I loved the Genndy Tartakovsky one and I was
right.
like, Clone Wars, the show again!
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like,
okay.
What's into the door?
Yeah, no, right? Yeah. Wait, the way is this 3D animation, not 2D animation? Who's this main character? Where's General Grievous?
Yeah, I was like, where's General Grievous?
Yeah. Oh, he's all through that show. So.
Yeah, no, that's true. But, okay, well, I guess the last bit of news I have is that they finally dropped the Iron Fist Season 2 trailer. And it's our teaser, I guess, trailer, whatever you want to call it.
Who the hell knows? It's
and,
showing
up
in September. So.
September 7th, so.
Probably a trailer?
I heard about this happening, and I was so not excited because season one of Iron Fist is garbage. It's absolute garbage.
It fell apart so bad.
Oh, man. Cool fight scenes. Great fight scenes.
Yeah, right?
Skip all the dialogue and go straight to the fight scenes.
Just like, when you see them punching each other, go back a little bit to when they start punching each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
So, RZA, you are a great fight coordinator. You're a terrible casting director.
That's funny.
But Matt was telling me that they dropped the showrunner. Yeah,
that showrunner is not going to be able to work with Disney ever again, because that was the same showrunner who did...
Inhumans.
Right?
He killed his career.
Yeah. So a new showrunner and a new fight choreographer. In fact, the fight choreographer from Black Panther, film.
Not trying to spit my water onto my computer.
But I thought it was a cool, like, little teaser trailer.
Like,
awesomeness.
Fart noises and then a yell. We all died in a fire.
Yeah. If the podcast cuts out in the middle of Matt talking.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, man, that looks cool. I'm excited. I really love Iron Fist, the Living Weapon. It's a little comic book run.
Makes me sad that the first seasons he did just ruined a series.
The original Iron Fist series came out, they did The Defenders, and then Luke Cage Season 2, which I just finished, big fan. He's a good character in those other series. In his own series, he is horribly written. he's even a transformative character. Like, in The Defenders, he's, like, kind of this child. Like, this adult, like, this man-child throwing temper tantrums.
Literally what it is.
And when he comes in Season 2 of Luke Cage, he's super calm zen. He's like, yeah, it took some time. I found myself. I realized I was being a dick. And he's just, like, so well-written in that, I accept both of these different iterations of the character.
They just retcon him through conversation.
Yeah, no, basically, he's like, he's not wearing shoes, is super zen, and like, he's like, hey man, how's it going? You know, after we were hanging out in New York, I realized I was a dick. Found myself, and here I am. And then that's it. And he's written so well, you know.
Writers, take note. Sometimes you just literally gotta say, no, we're changing things.
It's okay.
Yeah, he's like,
I will not be angry with you. Probably more happy sometimes.
Yeah, right. It's just like little great quips. Like, they go and get Asian food or whatever. He's like, this is literally the best Mushu pork I've ever had. And I've had it from, like, this old woman in Kunlan or whatever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's, like, Genghis Khani. She's, like, the Harlem thing or whatever.
Hilarious.
It's great. So I'm excited for Iron Fist Season 2 now that all those people are gone and they have all these new people.
New directions.
The only thing that's the same are the actors.
There you go.
I'm in. I'm game.
And cameraman number 4.
One and two.
Yeah, one through three. Yeah. They got the axe. Okay. Well, what else do you have for us, Matt?
So this is one I'm excited about. This. So DC has announced some new titles for DC Zoom and DC Inc. They're younger readers' imprints. And we talked about them briefly in the last episode. I won't go through the whole list. I just wanted to say that they've attached an artist to Jean Luen Yang's Superman Smashes the Clan. And they are having Girahuru Studios is doing the art on the book.
What?
I was waiting. I actually hid my notes from Patrick. Yeah. So he didn't know this.
Matt was like, yeah, I have a bit of news about Jean Luen Yang. And I was like, ooh, tell me. And he's like, no. Yeah. I want your reaction. So this is my reaction. Yeah.
So basically, DC is doing a comic book that was written for Patrick. So
We're not going to tell you we heard you.
No, like, G. Willow Wilson to just do the lettering. Right. Or something like that.
Awesome.
Edit it.
Speaking of which, is there some G. Willow Wilson stuff that you would like to talk about, Patrick?
Yes. Sorry, can I get one more last out real quick? I love Guru Hero. And I love Jean Luen Yang, and that's amazing. They're doing Superman. I don't really care about Superman. I care about literally everything else about this. So much.
That's so much. Awesome.
Deep breath.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's the paper bag that we keep around here for our nerd out moments?
We'll probably have to use a plastic comic bag here.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God. Okay. Huh. Yes, I actually do have some G. Willow Wilson news. So she, obviously, I love everything she does, and it was announced that come November, G. Willow will be doing the art the writing on Wonder Woman with the art by Corey Ward.
Carrie Nord.
Or Carrie...
Carrie Nord. Christian Ward is the other book.
Carrie Norda, excuse me.
Patrick is really excited right now.
I'm so excited. I can't like even jittering. Like read words. Like I have like excitement induced dyslexia.
You guys, listeners, you know that I'm a huge fan of Wonder Woman, and the announcement for G. Willow Wilson came, and this is my reaction. So you may want to lower the volume on your podcast. About fucking time. I have been complaining that DC hasn't been putting the right creative teams on this book since Rucka and Liam Sharp and Nicholas Scott left.
Mm. Yep.
Thank you for putting people on this book that should be writing it. Put top talent on your top books, Patrick.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of which, I wonder if they're going to do that with Batwoman now.
So I'm gonna be subscribing to Wonder Woman come November. Apparently, that's
yes,
not really a title that I read that often. But
yeah, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Matt's over here like yes, will be reading it, and I will be reading it.
It's like if you're not reading it,
freaking
and yeah, and also she's gonna be a busy writer because apparently in. I want to say September or something like that. I don't have an exact date here, but she'll be doing Invisible Kingdom for Dark Horse Comics with, this is going to be art by Christian Ward.
Oh yeah, I forgot I saw that too.
He's such a cool artist too.
So this is cool. This looks like, I haven't seen any specific solicitations, but it looks like some like fantasy, or like some sort of sci fantasy future weird thing. I've just seen like they just have an image and but it looks so cool. And yeah, G. Willow Wilson's gonna be writing it, and she's gonna be writing Wonder Woman, and she's still gonna be writing Miss Marvel.
Honestly, like for creative people though, if they're not busy and they have idle hands, I feel like at that point that's actually when they get upset. So I feel like at the same time she's like, no, I'm the creative.
Yeah,
she's just like with a shovel, like dumping things into her pile.
Yeah, and I know she still does lots of book tours and like. Is writing novels too and all that stuff. So like,
yeah.
You crazy girl. You like you and Brian Michael Bendis and Kelly Thompson need to all like hang out and start a club where you just literally don't ever see each other because you're too busy working.
Yeah, they're like, you know what? I have a hobby and it's called work. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Wait a minute. I think I get that.
Like, well, that was another successful 12-hour day of writing. Yeah, I should celebrate by spending 5 hours writing.
Yeah, but they're like, what am I going to do? Watch TV? Nope.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. God.
I think probably another exciting thing, too, that we need to talk about is Comcast officially bows out. The race for the Fox assets.
Oh, they did. Yeah. Disney finally put the chokehold on that.
I think it's because they offered such a huge lump sum, and I think the other part of it was too is the shareholders for Fox were actually trying to sue Fox because they didn't want them to take the deal from Disney yet, because they're like, wait, let Comcast bid. And I think that's probably why Comcast is like, whoa, we're not bidding anymore. Like, we can't. So, yeah. their official statement, Comcast does not intend to pursue further the acquisition of 21st Century Fox assets, and instead will focus on our recommended offer for Sky. I'd like to congratulate Bob Iger and the team at Disney and commend the Murdoch family, and Fox for creating such a desirable and respected company. So basically it means they bow out. Oof. And Disney can either be like, we're buying you, or be an asshole and make me want to set a building on fire and say, nah, you know what? But
no,
I know.
That is the first time I've ever heard somebody thank the Murdoch family, though.
That is...
So,
hey, sir, that was
so. You know, we talked about earlier the Disney or the DC Universe streaming service at $74.99 for the pre-order price. Disney, how much is your pre-order price? Because I just need you to just take my money. You have the Fox Studio, so I'm good. There's a lot of TV shows I've could totally catch up on from my childhood even.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe
that's true.
It'd be really interesting too is to stream the Alien films, you know, on the Disney streaming.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Oh my god, they could totally do the Kitty Pryde movie with the freaking alien.
Yes. Oh, they can do that now. Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even. I just thought about that because I remember you mentioning it.
I wonder how, like, what timetable this sort of raises for, like, the introduction of the Marvel characters into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
We'll see, but they'll probably. I don't know. Like,
are we going to see a Fantastic Four announcement like next week? Now,
I just saw stuff for what was it? Like that just popped up that Comcast said, "Hey, we bow, we give."
Yeah,
I think I'm usually not a big X-Men person, but I'd like to see a lot more mutants folded into like the Marvel pantheon.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, not like the big one. I'd love to see a Storm movie. Yeah. Wouldn't that be badass?
Well, I would love to see like an X-Men like the original first team. Yeah, we sort of got it with X-Men First Class, but it'd be really cool to just see the original.
Let's get Storm and T'Challa together.
Oh, hell yeah. That is actually a really awesome prospect that this announced. No, but they seem like they love each other.
They're getting back together in the comics pretty hard. I don't think they're married officially, but they're definitely, you know.
It was just mentioned in X-Men Red, so that's why I figured I would ask, because they're saying, well, we were married once, because Jean doesn't obviously know what the fuck going on. So, and I was like, wait, you're not married? I thought you were, what?
Yeah. That would be that would be awesome.
That would be so good to get.
Oh my god, that would be a great cameo in the next Black Panther film.
Black Panther to have,
just like have Halle Aurora. No. Waving my hands. New cast, please.
New cast for Storm.
Let's just end the movie with somebody going into the embassy, shaking T'Challa's hands, and she's like, my name is Aurora Monroe.
Oh,
and that's it.
That would be dope. That would be so dope. So. But don't you want to see Patrick Stewart come back in as Professor Xavier? Just like,
yeah, but I feel like you can just do that anyway.
Yeah, that's true. You don't really have to explain that one.
I mean, you could do McAvoy as well, and I'd be pretty able to do that. So. All right.
Fair enough.
So where are we going next?
Like I said, I'm done with news, so.
I mean, it's up to you, Nat. Do you want to go?
Sure.
I know you've got comic book news. I actually have some comic book
news.
Why
don't you lead that? What's your comic book news?
So, I've got Geoff Johns and Jason Fabuch reveal details on the upcoming Three Jokers. It's going to be part of DC's Black Label Comics. There are going to be three 46-page comics that will revolve around Jason Todd, Barbara Gordon, and I think Batman, I believe. And it's so like they showed a picture of the one of the covers, I believe, for it, and it's got a Joker. It's got three Jokers on it. I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but it's got
pinned.
Yeah, maybe. It's got a like a salute to the God.
This guaranteed two of the three Jokers. One of them is the Joker from The Killing Joke, and but it's not the one with the Hawaiian shirt. It's
Death in the Family. I wrote it
down. Death in, and then the other one of the Jokers is Death in the Family Joker.
Yeah, he's got a fucking crowbar, man.
He's got the crowbar. What I don't know is I don't know who the fifth Joker was. The third Joker. Sorry. Wow. I have in my notes Jokers.
One, two, five.
Yeah, we can count.
Three.
I have the notes of Joker's Five Way Revenge.
We were smart nerds.
But I don't know, like, it's weird that the Jokers, that at least two of them are from the 1980s, and like one of them isn't the like Endgame Joker, so I'm confused. The other thing I'm confused about is why is this Black Label?
Because
there was a lot of conversation about this being actually in continuity. This concept of the three Jokers.
I think the other thing is too, because we haven't talked about Black Label for a while either, is that stuff is just random stories out of continuity that are going to be on a
like
more mature level.
They don't have to.
And I wonder if
whole...
they just threw it in there because this is going to be a more mature content kind of deal.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be dealing with The Killing Joke and Barbara Gordon, which.
Right.
That's a fuck story.
But The Killing Joke has been part of continuity for a long time.
Death
in the Family is continuity. And I have to talk about this. The concept of the three Jokers was introduced as part of the end of the Gods event in a previous Justice League run, where Batman asks the Metron chair what the Joker's name is, and the response, which we didn't get until Rebirth, is that there were three.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm assuming he says which one.
No, that was the final response, is there are three.
Because that was the other thing, too, is... I don't know. I think maybe they're just throwing it under the Black Label to make it so they can have it as mature content is my only guess.
I guess either that or they just don't want to pursue the Three Jokers idea in the continuity.
They might not either because they have I mean, you've seen Justice League. What the fuck's going on over there?
Yeah, and that might be the difference, is like now that Johns is not spearheading the universe, that maybe Snyder specifically has a different idea for what he wants to do with the Joker, and Snyder's kind of the golden boy at DC, so...
Can do no wrong.
I mean, really, he can't at this point.
I just imagine him, like, on a palanquin, like, and having, like, the DC execs, like, you know, kneeling down as he, like, steps on their backs. Right. Like,
to get to his desk.
Bring me some grapes, DC CEO.
But,
they're, like, there's, like, you know, J.J. Abrams is standing there, like, fanning him with like, the feathery thing.
Yeah, I'm not super sure what they're planning on. I'm interested either way because I mentioned that, and like I have a feeling, like, just because of the announcements of what they're saying and the artwork, I'm like, Todd's probably gonna deal with the death in the family one, Barbara Gordon's gonna deal with the freaking Killing Joke, and then we'll see the other one.
It is an interesting concept too, like, what does it mean for the Joker character if it really is three different people?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that, what does that mean? Yeah. I have more Batman and Joker news, too.
Oh, let's hear it.
And Black Label, in fact. There's going to be a book called Batman Joker, The Deadly Duo by Mark Silvestri, one of the Image co-founders. And he's done a Batman book in the past. He did Batman Darkness, which is another character that he created. But I guess this is going to explore somebody's after the Joker, and Joker's pissed about it, but he doesn't know who it is. So he tricks Batman into helping him investigate by, like, putting... Jim Gordon in, like, a precarious spot that he can't get out of. So he's using Jim Gordon as leverage so that Batman will team up with him to figure out who the hell this is trying to mess with him.
Nice.
Also going to be in Black Label.
That sounds good.
I don't have enough money for this shit.
Yeah, Black Label is going to be a drain on the bank account.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just from a lot of the stories that they've recently announced, just like that one. I'm like,
Are you kidding me? DC's miniseries recently, for one that shall not be named, have been really killing it.
God, that's still in my nightmares.
But hey, we have Batman Brave and the Bold, right?
Voldemort.
Yes, oh, absolutely. And White Knight, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, so, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the run that shall not be named.
Yeah, it's turned into fucking Harry Potter and Voldemort over here.
DC was really, really big on their stuff this past
day. They talked a lot about comics this, which I was like, hell yeah, you fucking assholes, I need more money.
Speaking of which, kind of a nice segue, because we did talk about Brave and Bold, Batman, and Wonder Woman. The worst kept secret in the Comic-Con this year has been the Green Lantern book that's going to be starting at the end of this year, written by Grant Morrison with art by the lovely Liam Sharp.
Ooh.
So,
like I said, I don't have enough money for the shit.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I'm not a big fan of the Green Lantern, but I'll definitely check it out.
See, because and I'm not either. One of my coworkers, like, loves the Green Lantern so much, he even has, like, a Green Lantern tattoo, and I just never got it.
Well,
I had a big argument with Nat about the Green Lantern one, so we don't have to.
I'm not a huge Hal Jordan fan, but I'm such a big fan of these two creative
people.
That's
the one I've always liked, who is Hal Jordan.
No, Kyle Rayner, forever.
Because he's a fucking ass.
See. But this is going to be non-universe ending stories.
Yep.
We're actually going to tell like the space cop stuff. We're not going
to... If I'm interested in it, somebody has to be interested in it because I don't like fucking space.
Well, I'm so happy that we're not doing universe ending stuff. It's like every storyline of the Green Lanterns is, if they don't stop this, the universe is going to die.
It also sounds like the beginning part of the series, he's going to be stuck on Earth and he's actually getting upset about it.
Yep.
So, nice. But yeah, he going to be space cop.
And Grant Morrison is my favorite writer in comics, I'll say it. He's just a crazy and awesome.
Fair enough.
I mean, like you said, Scott Snyder dropped some acid.
Exactly.
And then went and wrote Justice League. He's like, what can I do with my day? I know.
All right, Kat, what else do you have for us?
I have some fun news for Nat.
What would be fun news for me?
Robert Kirkman will write the pilot for Invincible series and will be, and he says it will be just as violent as the comics.
Nat?
Are you alright over there?
You're like stuck over
He's
there.
Still breathing, so it's okay.
I just, I was already in, like, I don't know if I can be more in. I mean, if they announce that Ryan Otley's doing the character designs, then maybe I'll be more in.
He's
but right now,
throwing
I'm
his
like,
clothes at him. He's like, I'll sell my body for you.
It's like, this is on Amazon, right? I already have Amazon. Like, I can just start watching this, and when it, like,
Yes.
So, yes.
There has to be a catch. Yeah. It's going to, like, pop out and you're going to, like, log on to Amazon. And it's going to be like, no, you know.
And, right. And it's just a black screen.
And you're like, I will say there is kind of like a catch at the moment because he hopes to have images for next year's Comic-Cons, which means that he hasn't gotten... I mean, it was just announced, but at the same time, I was hoping, I was like, you're just hiding this, right?
This
you've
feels,
been working on it, right?
That feels to me like they're saying to us it's going to be 2D animation. Because if it's going to have that much of a time frame.
Well, they're going to be an hour-long episode, and it sounds... Well, I think they said that they were doing 2D animation originally anyways.
I hope. I don't know that I remember that in the original press release, but this is amazing. Like, Kirkman can write some serious stuff. Invincible is amazing, and yes, yeah. Yay! Sorry.
I was like,
it's okay.
I don't know how to handle this anymore. He's like, I've bubbled up so much, I ran out of bubble, but he's writing stuff. Where's the bubble?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
I totally understand. I was there a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, he's like, help me.
It's like, I have a degree in animation, and you just told me that my favorite comic book of all time is going to be animation by the person who write my favorite comic book of all time. What?
Yeah, that's the thing, is the fact that he's writing the pilot just. That's exciting. And like I said, the hour-long episodes, you don't see that. You see that with, like, maybe feature-length films, but you don't see that anymore.
The paradigm is changing.
Yeah, right?
All right, what else do we have? Because I think we're...
I think we ran out, but I think after we will have that, you know, secondary follow-up with post-San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, so let's make that announcement for sure. We'll definitely be doing some sort of a mini-episode to wrap up San Diego Comic-Con.
Since we're right in the middle of it right now.
It's, yeah. I mean, we probably could check our phones after this, and we're going to see some new news occurring.
Honestly, I don't think we'll actually see anything until tonight, to be honest with you, because everybody's trying to get all their stories together from all the panels.
So. But most people are live streaming, so you're getting this content as it's happening.
Cool. Yeah, so check out, keep your eyes peeled for that mini-sode that should be coming your way pretty soon. So, yeah, we just had so much news today.
So much!
No discussion topic, as we sometimes do.
That was discussion.
Yeah, we're discussing the news.
Here's the discussion topic right now. We'll have a lot of news for you coming up. Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
All right.
All right,
bye, everybody.
Bye.